When you visit Ireland, a local guide can help you see what lies beyond its 40 shades of green. I think it's worth your time and money to view today's Ireland in the context of its sometimes turbulent history with the help of a good local tour guide. So on today's Travel with Rick Steves, we'll look at the value of hiring a local guide in Ireland. One of them will recommend places for us to explore along the wilds of its uncrowded south coast in County Cork. And author Graham Robb shares his discoveries about the world of ancient Celts and Druids from the days before the Romans pushed them beyond the edges of their empire. Let's start the hour with my friend Pat O'Connor. For two decades, Pat laid the foundation for the Rick Steves Ireland Guidebook and closely researched the land of his ancestors until his recent retirement. He joins us for a look at some of the specialized tours he's taken and recommends from Dublin to Dingle. Pat, thanks for joining us again.
Great to be here, Rick. Thanks.
Do you know what I mean about how in Ireland, if you can connect with a quirky tour, you get a real surprise sparkle in that itinerary?
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. You find some sort of forgotten nooks and crannies that are really fascinating. There is a tour guide down in Kinsale, actually two of them, Barry Maloney and Don Hurley, who do an excellent job of explaining why Kinsale is such an important place in Irish history. It's where the fourth and final Spanish Armada tried to invade, and the Battle of Kinsale in 1603 really laid the roots for the power vacuum that created Northern Ireland 400 years later.
Right there, a strategic port on the south coast is why we have the Ulster situation in the northern part of Ireland.
It's where the battle that was lost that started the whole ball rolling.
And your eyes may be glazing over right now to try to figure that one out, but when you're with Barry and Don in Kinsale,
Yeah. You're
standing right there with that star fort, and you can imagine the Spaniards over there, and you can imagine the British here.
Yeah.
But that's why you want a local guide. What's another tour that sticks out in your mind?
Well, there's a couple in Dublin that are really fun. And they become popular enough that you want to maybe think ahead and possibly book them ahead. One is the musical pub crawl, which takes anywhere from 30 to maybe 40 tourists around to three different pubs with a couple of musicians who are not only great musicians, but for 50% of the time, that gift of gab really shows. They're explaining the musical instruments, which ones are indigenous, which ones are not. And it's all ad lib. It's not canned stuff. Questions and answers, it's really fun.
I'm a big fan of that. What's the other one?
Well, the other one is more fun than it might sound. It's actually a literary pub crawl. And what you're doing is going between pubs with a couple of actors instead of a couple of musicians. Huh. And these guys are quoting famous Irish authors like Joyce and Oscar Wilde in a really fun vibe.
Well, we will be in a pub very shortly. This is what we call a culture stop without any drink. The next stop we call a drink stop without any culture. This is Trinity College.
In an environment where you can actually laugh and have fun.
Exactly.
Rather than trying to read about it in your hotel room.
That's right.
Take me outside of Dublin. What's another good tour?
Okay. Well, there is a tour that is actually a minivan loop around the tip of the Dingle Peninsula. It's a Sleighhead Loop is the name of that loop. It's maybe 40 miles. And there's a gentleman who is the retired police chief of Dingle. His name is Tim Collins. And he and his son have been operating tours around this loop for decades. They're gentlemen, they're scholars, and they're archaeologists. And the Dingle Peninsula is really an intimate peninsula for archaeology.
And Dingle is a cute town, but it's a springboard for the countryside. And the countryside can be frustrating. You know, we can give a guided walk, and we can write it in the book, and people can do that in Dublin. But to lace together these obscure, faded, evocative, prehistoric or medieval sites in the great outdoors of Ireland, it's so nice to be in a minibus with a local guide who knows exactly what to do. The success of a tour like Tim's has spawned competition, and when you go to a place like Dingle, you're likely to find several outfits in minibuses offering these tours, and talk about a great investment of time and money.
Absolutely.
Another tour that blew me away was the strange plant life of the Burren, and there's farm boys that really know the Burren.
Exactly.
This is a lunar-like landscape where there's almost nobody living there. There's almost no dirt. It's got this honeycombed kind of weird rock, but in there, it's like a kaleidoscope of plant life.
It is, Rick. It's a limestone terrain that absorbs the heat, so it's unusual for botanists because they can find plants that normally grow in the Mediterranean growing right next door to plants that normally grow in the Arctic. And so if you're interested in botany or natural history or the way early man defoliated the whole countryside to contribute to the landscape of the Burren, geologists as well, they love it.
Pat, Joe and Mary Tourist, they're going to drive right by the Burren. They'll be their guidebook and say, here, you got the place where Cromwell said there's not enough dirt to bury a man and not enough trees to hang him.
Yeah.
And then they get out to the Cliffs of Moher to go to that tourist attraction. They're oblivious to all the natural wonder that they're driving by.
Yeah.
If you got online a couple days earlier, you could find a tour of that. It cost you a few bucks, but it would give meaning to that whole part of Ireland.
And getting into the countryside, getting out of the car, getting tactilely standing on a bog that's bouncy or rocks that have seen, you know, early man for 5,000 years. It's
We were rolling on this with our TV show, and I've still got this in the bloopers, but a rabbit ran by. I go, there's a rabbit. And he goes, no, it's a hare. It's not a rabbit. It's a hare, you stupid tourist. These are good, unvarnished farm boys that are doing these tours.
But they know their stuff, too. Yeah.
Now, from the Burren there near Galway, you could take a boat ride out to the Aran Islands. That's the most desolate or most untouched, most distant corner of Ireland in so many ways.
Yeah.
I had an unforgettable kind of farm boy minibus tour there and learned a lot.
Yeah. The minivan drivers who drive folks around Inishmore, the largest of the three islands, are invaluable because they are not only fluent in the local Irish language, but they tell the hard scrabble life of the people who existed out there, literally having to make their own dirt.
Making their own dirt, dragging seaweed out of the sea and then drying it and mixing it with the clay or whatever.
Sand and the animal dung, and there you've got your vegetables.
There you go. And now you got potatoes, God willing, next year.
That's
and if you don't, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of affluence in Ireland, but I think it's missed the Aran Islands. And when you go out there, they need the tourism, and these farmers love to. In my memory, there's five or six minibuses waiting for every ferry that rides.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just jump on, and you got a 3-hour tour, and you got a local friend. Cost you $20.
That's the perfect weatherproof way to do it. But if the weather's great, there's also pony cart rides that are slower and more expensive, but then you get the wind in your hair, and it's fun.
There's so many ways. Pat O'Connor has been the co-author of the Rick Steves Ireland Guidebook for 20 years. He's recommending some of the local tours and guides that help illuminate what you see in Ireland right now on Travel with Rick Steves. I understand the Waterford Crystal Tour. Waterford was just such a thing. Is it out of business now? What do we do when we want to experience crystal in Ireland?
Well, okay, so that was a victim of the 2008 crash, and it was bought by new ownership that decided to make it a more intimate experience. It's still factory, but most of the big production is offshore, other countries with cheaper labor. So the factory tour now is with craftsmen who are just working on the unusual sort of sports trophies and things like that.
So there still is a tour where you can see the crystal being carved.
And you're almost encouraged to interact with the craftsman who used to be behind a fence before.
Another thing on a lot of people's checklist and they go to Ireland is whiskey.
Yeah.
I remember three tours to appreciate whiskey. One in the south, one in the north, and one in Dublin. Is that still the
case? Yeah, so there's Jameson's in Dublin, and there is down at Old Middleton Distillery down near Cork. And then up in the north near Port Rush is actually the Bushmills Distillery, which is the oldest whiskey distillery.
Are each of these roughly the same experience?
I would say they are generally, I have to say they're corporate experiences, right? Yeah. So you see the little slideshow about the...
Yeah, it's a big ad.
It's a big ad.
But you get to try some whiskey at the end.
That's right. There's real history to it as well. And
there's a lot of corporate stuff going on. I mean, that's the interesting thing as Ireland has developed. I mean, Guinness is probably the most visited site in Ireland.
That is. And the cruise ship industry has had a lot to...
And that shapes
an impact
it.
Too.
Yeah. So if you want to do a whiskey tour, I think it's worth an hour or two of your time. And just, you know, you've got the one in the north, one in the south, and one in Dublin. Speaking of the north, Pat, when it comes to that wall, and there are still walls in separating Protestant and Catholic neighborhoods, believe it or not, still today in Northern Ireland, in Belfast... how do we learn about those walls?
Well, there are excellent tours with black taxi drivers. These are local guys and gals.
Not black like African.
No. American. The taxi itself is a black colored taxi like you see in London or other parts of the British Isles. These guys and gals are amazing for their insights because they've lived through the troubles and they know how to communicate it. And they have their opinions, which is kind of refreshing as well. You're not going to get just the homogenized for tourism. They have their opinions, you know, from their own experience. So I think it's a great experience. And there are taxi drivers who do both neighborhoods now.
Yeah, that's what I took a tour which prided itself in not only doing both neighborhoods, but you changed drivers halfway through the tour.
Perfect.
First you got Seamus, and you're going to get the Catholic perspective.
That's ideal.
And then you got John, and you're going to get the Protestant or the Unionist perspective.
So valuable.
It was really good. Pat, it's so much fun to celebrate the value of connecting with these quirky little tours. All the tours we've talked about, I think virtually all of them, except for, well, even the whiskey tour is not expensive because it's an ad, they're all affordable.
Mm-hmm.
They're all easy to do. You don't need, it's just a matter of giving a ring and knowing where it is and when it is and being there. Irish-American Pat O'Connor is our source for finding some of Ireland's best local guides right now on Travel with Rick Steves. The last one I'd like to talk about is in Dublin, and it's just, when you want to understand Trinity College, there's a little booth just at the entryway, and for 30 years, I've been chatting with the students at this booth. What are they selling?
Well, they're selling their walking tours of the college from a student's perspective, which is refreshing. And they're fun. They're wise guys and wise gals. And the gift of gab is just flowering with these kids. But they're at a pretty prestigious university, so they got their smarts to even be in the door. And
these are smart kids, and
yeah,
they've got a little wit, and they've
you
got
bet.
A little political edge, and they've got a little sass.
And they're willing to express it, yeah.
And that's something that is on the fly, and it cost you, I mean, just a few euros now.
It's 6 or 7 euros, something like that.
6 or 7 euros,
yeah.
And you've got a half an hour with an intimate chat with a college student walking around the college.
Yeah, ask him for a recommendation after the tour of his favorite nearby pub or something.
Pat O'Connor, there are many, many more of these kind of tours all over Ireland. In fact, all over the world in our travels. But we have highlighted some cool little opportunities to make the Emerald Isle even more enjoyable. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for all the work you've put into this guidebook and for sharing with us today your love of Ireland.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you.
One of Pat's local guide recommendations suggests we explore his corner of Ireland along its south coast and the wild beauty of West Cork in just a bit. And an American visitor shares what she learned at sites that depict the grim years of the Irish famine. But first, what started out as a bicycle trip from the Pyrenees to the Alps taught Graham Robb some amazing things about the intricate and sophisticated world of the ancient Celts. The author of The Discovery of Middle Earth explains next on Travel with Rick Steves.